And today's message is entitled, Glory to God Forever. Glory to God Forever. The Bible says, beginning in chapter 3 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal? Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers through whom you believed, as the Lord gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase." Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for some time together, for the testimonies we've heard about how you have worked through the different personalities that you have brought to this place to form Church of the Rockies. We pray, God, that you would speak to our hearts right now in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, there's a lot more in this text than what I'm going to be able to get to today, so I just want to make a couple of observations, from the context and from one verse. We're mainly going to look at verse 6, but the observations I want to make out of this text, I believe, are very pertinent for us today as we celebrate 4 years and as we are moving through what we are calling a transition time in the life of Church of the Rockies. So there's two observations I want us to consider this morning. The first one is in the first part of verse 6, and that is this: God assigns leaders to His church as they are needed. God assigns leaders to His church as they are needed. In verse 6, Paul is writing and he says to the church in Corinth, "I planted, Apollos watered." Paul is simply describing how God used each of them in His mission to save the world. This gives us a grand perspective of what's going on here. God's redemptive plan, which is to rescue souls from sin and damnation in hell, Paul is recognizing here in front of the church with this letter his and Apollos' role in the grand scheme of things. Think about it like this for a moment. At a certain time, in a certain place, God chose to use Paul and Apollos. Now, at a certain time, this letter or this activity of Paul in Corinth as he began to plant the church was the letter itself was written around 56 AD in the spring, near the time of Pentecost. And Paul himself was only in Corinth for about 18 months. Now, why is that important to us? That's not a great spiritual truth that you're going to sleep on tonight, really bothering you as you go to the house. Why do we want to know that it was written in the first century, around 56 to 59 AD? It was around the spring of the year. Paul was there for about 18 months. Because it's about God's timing. You see, it was a certain time, it was God's time for Paul. It was God's time for Apollos. It was God's time for Corinth. It was God's time for some of the people that lived in Corinth to come to know Him. It was a certain time at a certain place that God chose to use Paul and Apollos in the city of Corinth. They were deployed into the service of the king, and Paul's assignment was to plant, Apollos, afterwards, his assignment was to water. They were a little different from one another, but complementary. One was planting and one was strengthening. Who were these men? Paul. Most of you know who Paul was. He was a hater of the church to begin with, right? He persecuted the church, but he was saved on the road to Damascus, became one of the greatest evangelists in the first century had ever known, and planted churches all over the known world. A dynamic personality, a dynamic leader. Apollos is mentioned in the book of Acts. The Bible tells us that he was an eloquent man, that he was learned in the scriptures. In other words, he was a powerful teacher as well. Both of these were very strong personalities. Both of these men were equally important to the Lord's work. It's been pointed out by others that neither Paul nor Apollos was more important to the church in Corinth. Someone said, without a sower, there would have been nothing to water. Without someone to tend the growing seed, it may as well have not been planted. The Bible records for us how God used these men in the starting and strengthening of the church in Corinth. The leadership of Paul and the leadership of Apollos had a profound effect on the people. There's no question about it. There's no question that their service to the Lord left a mark. It left a mark. That's why we're reading about it in the scriptures, right? It made a difference. And so we're not going to take that away from the text. What they said, how they lived, and the things they did were very powerful and very meaningful. Their spiritual work would never, ever be forgotten. People were saved. Strongholds were broken. Lives were transformed and families were restored, because that's what the Spirit of God does. The Holy Spirit worked through these men, and the power of the gospel became effective in the city of Corinth. Paul started the church. Apollos strengthened the church. As a result of their dynamic work and use by God, some of the people had begun to have an unhealthy allegiance to them as leaders. They had put them on a pedestal, and they had begun to look to them for more than what they really were. It's only natural that they would do so, being used by God in their lives in that way. But we must take great precaution, great care to follow and worship no man except Jesus. There was even a division among them, according to what the Bible was saying, based on Paul's personality and his work, based on Apollos' personality and his work. And if you read a little farther, based on Cephas and others. And they were saying, I am of Paul and I am of Apollos. At this time, I'm sure, when Paul got word, he wanted to say, oh, no. You don't belong to Paul. You don't belong to Apollos. You belong to God. And Paul was making that clear to the church there in Corinth. Here's the bottom line. Here's what the Bible teaches. We are God's people. This is God's work. It is God's gospel that we preach and teach and share. It is God who chooses people to serve in certain places at certain times and in certain ways. Listen to me carefully this morning. God makes the assignment. We carry it out. Or maybe I should say it this way. God makes the assignment, and you carry it out. I don't want you to think this is just about preachers. God makes the assignment and we carry it out. I remember reading a story one time about a young preacher that came to, I think it was Spurgeon, Charles Spurgeon that he came to, and he was complaining about his assignment is what he was doing. He was not happy at the church that he had been called to serve. And Charles Spurgeon, older and wiser, asked him why. You know, what's the problem? He said, well, I only have about 100 people coming. He thought he should have a lot more people coming to hear him preach, and that was his problem. He was upset about that. And Charles Spurgeon looked at the young man, and he said, well, that'll be enough for you to give account of on the day of judgment. God knows best. That is why he makes the assignment. God will bring to you that assignment, that one who's been assigned. And you've got to remember that assignments are for our good, and assignments are for his glory. So, God assigns leaders to his church as they are needed. Paul said, I planted. I was there for a time. I was there for a season. Apollos watered. The second thing I want you to notice in this verse is that blessings cannot and must not be attributed to leaders. Blessings come from God. They are of divine origin. And we must never forget that. Paul said, I planted and Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. The Bible makes it very clear that eternal results are produced not by the futile efforts of mortal man, but by the omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent God, the all-knowing, all-powerful, everywhere present, all the time God who created and sustains the universe. That's where your blessings come from. That's who blesses the church. That's who makes the assignment for the church. He alone is the one who saves our souls. He is the one who transforms our lives. He is the one who breaks the strongholds of addiction. He is the one who restores broken marriages. He is the one who heals the sin-sick soul. He is the one who puts families back together. He is the one who builds the church. He is the one who blesses the church. To God and to God alone be the glory. Great things he has done, not great things has Paul done, not great things has Apollos done, not great things has Cephas done, not great things has Peter, James, and John done, not great things has Abraham and Moses done, great things has God done. God gives the increase. Remember this, we serve the one who makes it grow. We serve the one who makes it grow. Yes, we can and we should put ourselves in a position to be used by God, but in the grand scheme of things, we are somewhat insignificant. What do you mean? Aren't we important? Well, God loves us. He sent his son to die for us. There is some value in being made in the image of God. But when you compare yourself to God, which is what Paul is doing here, when he says in verse 7, so then neither he who plants is anything. He's saying, I'm nothing. Nor he who waters. I'm nothing when it compares to God and what God is doing in this work and through this process. God gives the increase. He says that twice. God alone gives the increase, and God alone receives the glory. Blessings cannot and they must not be attributed to leaders. You've been blessed by God here today because He wanted to bless you. Because He's a personal God who loves you and cares about your life. The scripture echoes this throughout. Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, the same chapter William was referring to earlier. At the end, in verse 47, it says, "And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." It said, "The Lord added." It said, "The Lord added to the church daily those who were being." So this is a spiritual work, folks. This is not man's work. Man gets to be a part of it. We just get to, we are blessed beyond measure to have any part in it whatsoever. And if we listen and pay attention, we can be a part of it all of our lives. Be involved with what God wants to do in you and through you. You know, there's a story in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 12, that is an illustration of a man who received the glory that belonged to God. His name was King Herod. He had been persecuting the church harshly, throwing its leaders in prison, having them beaten, put to death. He was a harsh king. Here's what the Bible says about him in chapter 12 of Acts in verse 20. "Then Herod had been very angry with the people of Tyre and Sidon, but they came to him with one accord, and having made Blastus the king's personal aide their friend, they asked for peace because their country was supplied with food by the king's country. So on a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat on his throne and gave an oration to them. And the people kept shouting, 'A voice of a God and not a man. A voice of a God and not a man. A voice of a God and not a man.'" And Herod liked it. No, Herod loved it. Herod received it. He didn't mind thinking of himself as a god. He didn't mind others thinking of him as a god. He was willing to receive the glory that's only due the one true and living God. In verse 23, "Then immediately an angel of the Lord struck him because he did not give glory to God. And he was eaten by worms and he died." The word of God grew and multiplied. God alone gives the increase. God alone gets the glory. Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." On this fourth anniversary, and in a time of transition, I think it does us some good to remember that God assigns leaders to His church as they are needed, and that the blessings that we have and are and will receive must not be attributed to leaders, but to God alone. Casting Crowns, contemporary Christian band, has a song entitled "Only Jesus." I want to share just those first couple of verses with you as we get ready to close. And it's almost like a testimony at the beginning of the song of how he went astray. But listen to what the words say. "Make it count, leave a mark, build a name for yourself. Dream your dreams, chase your heart above all else. Make a name the world remembers. But all an empty world can sell is empty dreams. I got lost in the lie that it was up to me to make a name the world remembers. But Jesus is the only name to remember. And die. This is the chorus. I don't want to leave a legacy. I don't care if they remember me, only Jesus. And I've only got the one life to live. I'll let every second point to Him, only Jesus. The second verse says, all the kingdoms built, all the trophies won, will crumble into dust when it's said and done. Because all that really matters is, did I live the truth to the ones I love? Was my life the proof that there's only one whose name will last forever? Was my life the proof that there's only one name that will last forever? Other great leaders in the first century understood this as well. John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. Glory to God. Would you say that with me? Glory to God. Would you say it a little louder? Glory to God. Glory to God forever and ever and ever. There's a song. And I don't know all the words. Usually I don't. I usually mess songs up. It has that refrain in it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Sing it with me. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Sing it again. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God forever. Father, we thank you for a few moments together in your word, for helping us to stay on the straight and narrow, and calling us back to trusting you for what you have in store, for us to understand that we are blessed to be a part of a spiritual work that you are in total control of, that you are the ones who you are the one who works in our hearts, you are the one who works in our minds, you are the one who works through our lives. God, we have to recognize today that you wanted this church to be more than any of us ever did. And that the work has just begun. And so, Lord, we recognize from what we've read in the scriptures this morning that you make the assignments. We carry them out. You give the blessings. And only you give the blessings. And we receive them. So thank you. All glory and honor and praise unto you, O Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together for a time of decision as the praise team makes their way forward. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are here visiting or you're here for the first, second, third time. Maybe you've been hearing the gospel and you've been hearing about Jesus and how only Jesus saves and you've never opened up your life to Him. Maybe today is going to be your day of salvation. If you would repent of your sins and trust Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you can be saved. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Maybe you're here this morning, and maybe, just maybe, the words that you've heard from the scriptures and the thoughts that have been shared here today are resonating in your heart and resonating in your mind, and you're needing to come back to that point where you trust God for everything, that you believe Him for everything in your life, and that you give Him all the glory and all of the praise and you take none. But you open yourself up and say, Lord, play me like an instrument in your hands. Use me as a tool to build in your kingdom. Open Open up your heart and your life and say, God, I've been holding on to part of it. I want you to have all of it. Some of you are wrestling with that. Some of you are giving Him something on Sundays and the rest of the week is yours. Would you open up your heart and say, here I am, Lord. All of me. Take all of me and make me what you want me to be. Maybe you're here this morning, you'll say, God, give me my assignment. I heard it this morning that you make the assignments. I'm ready for mine. I'm ready for my assignment. And there's no doubt that there are those here this morning who heard what your assignment is, and you've known what your assignment is for quite some time, but you've gone AWOL. You're not there. Would you take these next few moments and do business with God? Praise team's going to sing. You sing. You pray. I'll be down front. Pastor Bill's in the back. The altar is open. This is your time to do something about what you've heard and what's stirring in your heart in these next few moments. You respond to God as He leads.